This is the Big 550 KTRS. I'm Paul Harris, filling in for Charles Jaco. Thank you very much for listening. Let me introduce you now to John Avlon, who is a senior political columnist for the Daily Beast and author of a terrific new book called Wing Nuts, How the Lunatic Fringe is Hijacking America. And with the Tea Party in the news so much in the last couple of days, it's good to have you on the show, John. Welcome to the Big 550.
Thanks. Good to be with you.
What do you think of the Tea Party and all their tax protests over the last couple of days?
Well, you know, it's one of the things about the tax day this year and the protests is, and I wrote about this on The Beast, is that actually federal taxes are down this year. Also, the government waste that people rightly protest, Citizens Against Government Waste, a great organization that tracks this stuff, came out with their annual pig book and found that actually pork barrel products projects are on their on the decline and costing less money. So there's actually some good news. Now, taxes are on the way up this year. They're, you know, we got serious problems with deficit and debt, and I think those are worthwhile things and important things for citizens to be concerned about. So, you know, I always look at the Tea Parties this way. I don't think they're all wing nuts at all. And I track the movement and the evolution of the movement in my book. But what began as a principled fiscal conservative protest over the course of last summer got infused with a serious dose of Obama derangement syndrome.
Yeah.
And that's what we need to take issue with. And what troubles me is that too few leaders in the Republican Party or the Tea Party movement have the courage to condemn the extremists in their midst. The fringe has been blurring with the base, and these folks are subtly encouraging it, and that is troubling and bad for the country.
I couldn't agree more, and I think that that is exactly the problem, that you don't have people who you normally would look at and go, okay, you know what, I may not agree with you, but at least you're a reasonable person. And now they're agreeing with the unreasonable people who are on the fringes, who make up, as you call them, this lunatic fringe. And now you've got, you know, semi-normal politicians, if there is, boy, there's an oxymoron for you, who used to know what the art of compromise was on Capitol Hill. Now, if you're a Republican and you ever agreed with a Democrat on anything, including what they had for lunch, they want to throw you right out of the party.
That's right. You know, they're confusing cooperation with collaboration in the World War II sense, and it's really troubling. It's bad for the country. You got these rhino hunts in the Republican Party, the dino hunts in the Democratic Party. This quest for ideological purity is really troubling. It really comes from a position of insecurity where people feel a need to have total conformity. And what's particularly sick to me is that these folks confuse courage with conformity. If you vote 100% with your party, and if you walk in total ideological lockstep, these professional partisans say that you're courageous. Well, there's nothing courageous about conformity. That's conformity. That's cowardice. So we've gotten to a point in our political dialogue where the extremes are so dominant in their two parties that we've lost any sight of reality. And what we need to celebrate more is real independence, which in part is the courage to reach across the aisle, practice the politics of problem solving, and not just kind of denigrate to this demonization of people who disagree with you and this fear-mongering that's passing for partisan politics so much of the time.
Have we ever seen it anything like what we saw in the recent battle over health care reform?
We have. I mean, that was a departure in a couple levels. First of all, one thing that the Democrats do need to be aware of is that the way that bill passed, the partisan lines it passed along, was not just a condemnation of the current political climate. It was a real break, a departure, with the way American politics have generally run. You look at any major piece of social legislation in the 20th century, Social Security, Medicaid, welfare reform, these passed with broad bipartisan margins. That's healthy for our country. It's unhealthy for a broad piece of social policy to be so divisive, to pass along such partisan lines. That's the first bit. The second bit is, look, you know, demagogues have always done well in economic downturns. You know, back in the 1930s, we had, you know, Father Charles Coughlin, the radio priest on the right, and Huey Long on the left. The thing is that we've never had the kind of apparatus that encourages these folks. You know, the political parties are more polarized than ever before. We've got the rise of partisan media, which just sells their own version of reality and confirms people's political prejudices. We're self-segregating ourselves into separate political realities. All these things make the wingnuts more dangerous and more influential than ever before. And that's why we need to call on the courage to confront them and to confront the extremes on both sides. you know, and particularly to stand up to the extremes on your side. You know, in the past, when Republicans like Dwight Eisenhower and Margaret Chase Smith stood up to Joe McCarthy, when William F. Buckley had the courage to denounce the extremism of the John Birch Society, those are courageous actions that we need to remember. But right now we've lost all sight of that, and political leaders are so cowardly that they're so afraid that the fringe is blurred with the base that they are not standing up to the extremes on their own side, and our country is being hurt in the process.
Yeah, look at Senator Tom Coburn, Senator No, who a couple of days ago dared to say something mildly negative about Fox News. Bill O'Reilly drove to his house and ran over him.
And you know, the other part of it was is that he said something honorable and kind about Nancy Pelosi.
Yeah.
You know, that is something that we should celebrate. You know, on my CNN segment, Wingnuts of the Week, you know, where I pick someone on the far right and the far left each week, you know, when I can, I give out a Profile in Courage Award. And I gave it to Tom Coburn for that action because it's so rare that when a committed partisan says something, says, look, we can have principled disagreement about policy, but let's not demonize each other personally. That is news-making. That is a Profile in Courage today. Just someone standing up for civility. That's how far off the rails things have gotten.
This is the Big 550 KTRS. Paul Harris talking with John Avlon about his book, Wing Nuts, How the Lunatic Fringe is Hijacking America. Who are the liberal lunatics?
Alan Grayson is a great example. He's a Democratic congressman from Florida. You know, one of the things I use in the book is, you know, we've seen an escalation of rhetoric of describing political opponents as enemies and evil. Well, Alan Grayson described the Republicans as the enemy of peace, the enemy of America. And then on the flip side, you've got Trent Franks, a Republican from Arizona, describing President Obama as the enemy of humanity. You know, frequently the extremes do end up resembling each other. They use some of the same tactics and rhetoric. And Grayson is one example of an elected Democrat. But, you know, you've got Glenn Beck totally, you know, calling the president racist. And then you've had Keith Olbermann calling Scott Brown racist, homophobic, and a promoter of violence against women. You know, all these people are intelligent, talented broadcasters in those cases. But we've got a situation where there used to be that political leaders gave talking points to talk radio. Well, all of a sudden, talk radio is giving their talking points to the political leaders.
Yep.
And it's created a real problem. And it advanced this idea increasingly on both sides that there is no such thing as too extreme.
Yeah.
And that's dangerous.
Yeah, you know, David Frum wrote this famous piece a few weeks ago about how the Republican Party needs to stop following the lead of the, let's call it the lunatic entertainment fringe, the Rush Limbaughs, the Glenn Becks, et cetera, because those are the people who are in it for their own business, that as long as they can play the victim, the things go well for them. And as long as they can portray their audience as the victim will listen to them because it's a sympathetic voice on the air. Do you buy into that?
I do. I think David is exactly right, and he's been a courageous voice. He's a committed conservative, but he's had the guts to stand up to folks on the far right, and he's got the scars to show it. You know, and that is largely the dynamic that's going on. There's something going on where, you know, people are so deeply, they're buying into this idea that demagogues always sell, which is that, you know, times are tough. I know who to blame. Blame them. And they, you know, they divide America into us against them. Fundamentally, the wingnuts are promoting an assault on the most American idea there is, which is that there is more than unites us than divides us. So that's what we need to stand up and fight for. You know, President Eisenhower once said that the middle of the road is all the usable surface. The extremes of left and right are in the gutters, where our politics have become preoccupied with playing gutter ball, and very powerful interests in parties and partisan media promote that attitude. So the most rebellious thing you can do right now is to stand up to the extremes on both sides and declare your independence from politics as usual. And the voices who are doing that deserve support. They're creating a real alternative to the insanity that passes for political debate today.
You know what I find most annoying about this is, in addition to the extremist rhetoric, is the ignorance behind so much of that rhetoric. For instance, Sarah Palin last week dissing President Obama for coming out for a one-third reduction in America's nuclear arsenal, saying, you know, that's not the sort of thing Ronald Reagan would have stood for. And, of course, Jon Stewart that night on The Daily Show has a clip of Ronald Reagan saying, we need to reduce our nuclear arsenal by one-third.
Yeah, and I wrote a column that day. in response to all that fallout, no pun intended, I actually called up Reagan's Secretary of State, James Baker, and his senior policy advisor, Martin Anderson, at the Hoover Institution, and I said, what do you guys make of this deal, nuclear reduction deal? And they both said, look, it's a pretty modest reduction. It's in line towards the goal that Reagan was promoting, which is that he wanted to negotiate our way from a position of strength towards a world without nuclear weapons. How have we gotten in this situation where our politics have become and our political debates, I think this is one major issue, have become fundamentally dishonest because everything is being fed through a filter of partisan spin. And so that history doesn't matter to these folks. You know, the folks who are promoting these party purity pushes, you know, they always hold up Reagan and Goldwater. Well, here's the news, folks, and I talk about this in my book. Reagan and Goldwater couldn't have passed those purity tests.
Yep.
You know, Goldwater was pro-choice and pro-gays in the military 20, 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So who's fooling who? It is rampant ignorance taking advantage of folks instead of having the honesty to have a reasonable debate based on the facts. They're resorting to fear and hate in the service of hyper-partisanship. And it's disgusting, and it deserves to be called out.
John, how much blame does the media deserve for this? I heard yesterday on this very radio station from our ABC network newscast, a huge Tea Party rally in Washington, D.C. Over 3,000 people were there. And I thought, 3,000 people? That, you know, Springsteen gets more than that for a concert. I don't think 3,000 people in a rally in Washington qualifies as huge. 250,000 people rallying against the war? Okay, that's a huge thing. But have the media fallen down on their job? You're doing some of it. You know, ABC's now hired PolitiFact to fact-check this
yep.
week with Jake Tapper. John Stewart, as I said, does some of that. But on the whole, is the media doing a good job or a bad job here?
They're doing a bad job. I mean, there's a chapter in my book on the media called Polarizing for Profit. They've bought into this idea that, you know, with all the fragmentation of media, with all the choices people have, the internet and talk radio and cable news, the profitable new idea the last several, you know, decade or so has been is to carve out intense niche markets. And the way to do that is to play more and more to the extremes. And you incite people and you play the politics of fear, conflict, tension, and resentment. You use those emotions to create loyal listeners. But the problem is you're feeding people, you're basically selling Kool-Aid. You know, you're feeding people an intoxicating brew of ideology and fear and hate and confirming their own political biases instead of trying to be the honest broker in politics. And that's the problem is that very few people, since political partisan media folks are basically functioning as proxies, as attack dogs or apologists for the two parties. You don't have anyone who's got the mantle of an Ed Murrow because no one's even trying to be Ed Murrow. They're, you know, the whole idea of an independent, genuine independent, people don't, at the moment, that's so out of favor because the best ratings are gotten from playing to the base, to playing to the extremes, to stirring up fear and hate and distrust along partisan lines. So we need to create a countermeasure, a counter-revolution, because at some point, someone's going to realize that they're ignoring basically 70% of the American people who are in the middle, who want independence, and that what we're engaging in right now may be good for ratings in the short run, but it's bad for the country in the long run.
One last question. I've only got a minute left here, John. What effect is this going to have on the congressional elections this year and potentially on the presidential elections 2 years from now?
Well, de-link the two. I mean, look, presidents in power, the party of the president always does badly in the midterm elections. Independent voters in particular, who tend to be fiscally conservative, don't like unified control of Washington. The Democrats are heading for a tough fall. The issue is, with that low turnout election, is will the Tea Partiers win people over in the center with a message of fiscal discipline, or will they alienate them with extremism, with signs of Obama derangement syndrome? That's a lot of where this fight is going to be won or lost. And then into 2012, you know, if the Republicans take Congress, President Obama's chances in the next election actually go up because the American people like checks and balances.
Yep. Very well said, and nice job on the book, by the way. You're saying a lot of things that need to be said and hopefully are being heard by the people in the middle. And I don't mean geographically here in the middle of the country as St. Louis is, but I mean the political center of this country, because I always say there's 10% on one side, 10% on the other side. What about the 80% of us in the middle?
Exactly right.
John,
keep fighting the good fight. I appreciate it.
Thanks for your time today. John Avalon, the book is Wing Nuts, How the Lunatic Fringe is Hijacking America. This is the Big 550 KTRS.